You're listening to A Senior Moment, the show for and about seniors. I'm Joanne Rideout. I'm here in the studio today with Michelle Lewis from Northwest Senior and Disability Services, Doug Schaefer from the Olympic Area Agency on Aging. We also have a guest today, Melissa Johnston. She is from. She's also with Northwest Senior and Disability Services. She's in charge. She's a manager of various programs there, especially Medicaid. And Michelle is in charge of community program supervising. So the two of them work together in this organization. Today we have Melissa here as kind of our resident expert. And we're going to be talking about a lot of programs that you may or may not have heard of. You know, we talk about a lot of the more well-known programs that both of these organizations offer, like the Olympic Area Agency on Aging that Doug Schaefer works for, and Northwest Senior and Disability Services that Michelle and Melissa work for, cover both sides of the Columbia River. Together they offer a great deal, and we don't always talk about all of it. So today we're going to be talking about some of those things you might not have heard of. So Melissa, why don't we start with you? What do we want to start with today as far as programs people may not know about already?
So people may not know that we have a program, different programs through Medicaid for people. And if you're a person that's disabled, 19 years or older, or a senior, 60 years and older, some of these programs may apply to you. We have a program that helps pay their Medicare Part B premium. It also helps pay co-payments to doctor's offices. We have a program that we have food stamp program or SNAP program, and that helps subsidize your food.
So people can go to the grocery store and buy groceries with stuff like this.
Yes, yes.
Supplement their budget.
It supplements their budget.
Okay.
Very good. So we have a program called Oregon Project Independence. We actually can serve people now 19 years and older that have a physical disability or people that are 60 years and older. It's for a maximum of 20 hours of assistance per month for in-home care. So it might help someone that needs help with bathing, maybe weekly, or some housekeeping. We do an assessment to see if they meet the criteria for this program. The pay-in that you have to make is real minimal, and if you aren't able to afford it, you don't have to pay it. So it's something that we have right now about 70 people on in Clatsop County.
In many of the programs that we've talked about on this show, people need to hire their own care workers. In Project Independence, are they just given the funding and they hire them, or does the project provide the helpers?
For any of our in-home care programs, which we do have that through Oregon Project Independence and also through Medicaid, because we provide services for clients in their homes, we give them the tools and information so they can hire their own home care worker, or they can also go right now through Caring for the Coast to hire a home care worker to provide the care for them.
And in case people don't know, what is Caring for the Coast?
It is an in-home care agency.
So they provide people who've been kind of, vetted and checked out and
yes.
They have certain skills. And,
yes,
okay.
Yes.
And if you're hiring your own home care worker, they also can, we can do it, what they call STEPS program. We can go out and talk to them about being successful employers. So those kind of skills like interviewing skills and how to access a list of caregivers to call. So we have a home care worker registry in Oregon. It actually has a list of home care workers that have had background checks. But you're still hiring them directly if you're not using an agency. So for OPI and for Title 19 in-home services for Medicaid, you're actually still hiring them directly. So you still have to go through all the processes an employer would go through.
So then what is, can you just explain a little more about Title 19?
Yes, I'll explain that.
Oh, sure. Okay, great.
Anyway, so Title 19 is Medicaid for clients. And so the different programs that I talked about previously, like a program covering your Medicare Part B premium, that is actually under Title 19 programs too. But for a lot of clients, there may be people out there that maybe a person in their home needs in-home care services and they can't afford it themselves, or they need a lot of help like a live-in provider, then they would come to call our office and we would do a financial assessment on them and also do a service review on them to see if they meet the criteria to go on Title 19 services. Another term that's used a lot in this is the K waiver. And basically, they're very similar in meaning the same thing for people. Basically, it's a We have programs that will help people get on in-home services, but also if they're needing to go to a foster home or an assisted living or a memory care facility or a nursing home, we're able to hopefully assist them with that, so that because a lot of those are very expensive to go into and people may not be able to afford it.
Okay. Before we go on to any further, I just want to ask about, since we are doing both sides of the, both states, Oregon and Washington, Doug, is there anything like Project Independence in Washington, or are there similar programs that would provide that kind of support for people?
Well, the Medicaid programs are federal, so we have a lot of the same programs, although they might be termed something different. We have COPES waiver programs. We were talking before the show about the different terms that people have had for public assistance or for Medicaid or whatever it may be. And in Washington State, it's recently become known as Washington Apple Health.
Okay.
And that's Medicaid.
Okay.
But all these different terms and everything all point to the same Title 19 funding. And that's pretty much across the board, across the nation. Now, we do have some things that are similar to the Project Independence. In our area, it's through our Family Caregiver Program, and it's a respite. So someone can come in, and if someone's providing care for a family member and they just need to get away, then we have contracts with agencies that will bring caregivers in. And we have a screening process for that, of course, too. And there might be a participatory cost. It depends on income. And so there's different eligibility things. But I think that the majority of our programs, our in-home care programs and all of those kinds of things, are the same on both sides of the river. A lot of the standards are federal for Medicaid, so you know, if you're eligible, well, what if I'm in Oregon? Am I eligible there? Or what if I'm in Washington? A lot of them are the same, but the different programs and how you fit into those would be different. So the best thing is to sort of contact our office, and as we'll be talking about later, we can take the call, talk about what's happening, and kind of see which direction people could go.
Mm-hmm. I think people often don't really realize how much help there is, and this is part of what this show is about. I just have a question though about something you mentioned. What is the COPES program? COPES waiver?
COPES program, or COPES waiver program, is, I was going to try to remember what the acronym stands for, but it doesn't matter. It's basically a Title 19 program, people of higher income, and there's a functional eligibility and a financial eligibility for in-home care. And if you meet those eligibility standards, then in-home caregivers can come in, your Medicaid's covered, your all medical costs and all of that. It's just one of the T19 programs. Another one that we have is called MPC, or Medicaid Personal Care. So there, it's just a different name, but at least in Washington, I don't know about over here, but you'll hear people use COPES synonymously for any kind of Medicaid in-home care. That's what sticks in their head for some reason.
Okay. So then I just have a question. Maybe this is a good question for you, Melissa, about what is the level for Medicaid eligibility? Where do people need to be in the income range to qualify?
So, and one of the things I do want to mention is, from what you had said, when people are in Washington and they come across the bridge to Oregon, sometimes they think they don't have to reapply that for Medicaid or any of the programs, and they have to. Mm-hmm. The rules are different in each state. And so that's something that's really important, especially because we're in such close proximity. Mm-hmm. For the income requirements for Medicaid programs for our office, they're all different. If you're needing those services in your home and want Medicaid, or if you're needing to place someone in a foster home or assisted living, you basically can have, there's no income standard for that. There is a resource standard, which is you can only have for a single person up to $2,000. But if you're a couple, there's ways that if you have a couple in their, that we don't want to impoverish the person that's not on public assistance. So there's ways that we can divert money on paper so that that person still has plenty of funds to stay in their home, the other person not going on assistance. So I think that's really important, that we don't want to do that to that person that's not needing to be on assistance.
Okay. And so basically, I think what you're referring to is something that we've talked before on the show about, with the idea that sometimes people need to spend down their resources in order to qualify for a program.
Sometimes they do, but not always. And I think it's really important, very important, that people contact our office ahead of time. We see people that have spent thousands and thousands of dollars and think that they need to, and they call our office, and they could have gone on assistance a long time ago. There's what's called a resource assessment that we do that divides up funds. And so it's basically to make sure that that person in home still has the ability to stay in their home and live their life in that home.
Okay, so that's really important.
That is a really important thing for people to know, to contact our offices ahead of time.
Okay. Well, let's take a look at some of the other programs that you might have there that we could mention that are kind of the rare ones that we don't talk about a whole lot.
One of the things that we do talk about a little bit, but not probably enough, is options counseling. So some of the programs that Melissa was talking about, the in-home care programs, prior to getting onto those programs, we can talk to them ahead of time about how to look at their resources and their options for long-term care as maybe an aging process or disease process goes on. So maybe the person wants to stay at home as long as possible and has the private assets to do that. Then we'd want to talk to them about, okay, this is what it looks like in the future. What are you thinking in the future? Do you know about adult foster homes? Do you know about assisted livings? And then we start talking to them too about Medicaid spend down and encouraging them to get that resource assessment done. If they have enough funds, we might be encouraging them to talk to an estates planner or an elder attorney at that point. But it's a conversation that we can have very early on into the whole thing. So you don't have to be impoverished to talk, because there is no income or resource qualifiers to talk to us about options counseling.
Okay.
Also, we have the Gatekeeper Program.
Oh, okay.
What is that? So that's another kind of early intervention. Everybody really is kind of a gatekeeper, but yep. Typical gatekeepers are like your mailman that comes around and maybe sees something unusual at the house that hasn't happened before. Maybe the mail is accruing and nobody said they're going to be on vacation. Anybody in the community that may be noticing that something's going on with an elder, we consider them gatekeepers, and we want them to call our agency and see if we can help get on the front end of possible problems coming up.
Well, that is interesting, because I would say that most people would probably not know what anything other to do than to call 911 or something, and that's not really appropriate probably, but so somebody could call your agencies and report something. So that's a question for you, Doug, on the Washington side of things. Is there something comparable to options counseling?
Right, we have the options counseling also, and dealing with people and sort of getting in there early enough and saying, well, what can we do? What are you able to do? What happens after that? And those type of things also. And the Gatekeeper Program has been on again, off again in our service area. But it has been, because we're so rural, people that went through the Gatekeeper before, when we go out and do a presentation, this is what it's about, this is who we are, and they've kind of stuck with that. We still get people that will get bank tellers calling us saying, we had a client come in and she seemed really confused and had all this cash money, and a couple of weeks ago she was on top of everything. And so people are really concerned, and they can call in anonymously, and we're able to do cold calls and check and say, okay, what's going on? Or if there's somebody sort of lurking about her, get Adult Protective Services involved to see if she's, financially exploited or anything. So in the small communities, they know where we are and they do contact us a lot. Or they might call 911 and then the police contact us and go, this is kind of more your thing than ours.
Oh, okay. So they know to do that. Okay,
right,
great.
Right. And okay. But the Gatekeeper Program is a really excellent one. I mean, we've had, like I said, bank tellers or meter readers, grocery clerks. I mean, because they know the people and they know the difference. So.
One thing I think that when people do call in on programs like that, they should also understand they probably aren't going to hear back from us. There is always a follow-through. And we, because of HIPAA laws and things, we can't necessarily report back about how that went. We can assure them that we are going to go through with some sort of research or calling them or doing the kind of resource analysis that we need to do, but we may not be able to go back and talk to them directly about it.
Well, that's a really interesting, a really valuable resource that I think a lot of people just don't have any idea is there. And if you are listening to the show and are intrigued by this, or you have some reason why you might want to call, we'll give contact information at the end of the show, but also you can just go online and Google Northwest Senior and Disability Services or Olympic Area Agency on Aging, and their websites will come up and the contact information is right there. So even if you don't remember anything else that I said today that any of us have said, if you're busy driving in the car, those are the two resources on either side of the Columbia that will allow you to access all this great information. You know, these folks are such great, both of their organizations are great clearinghouses for assistance and advisement that a lot of people don't even realize exists, and that's part of what we're talking about today. Just to remind you, you are listening to A Senior Moment, the show for and about seniors. I'm Joanne Rideout. I'm here in the studio with Michelle Lewis from Northwest Senior and Disability Services and Melissa Johnston, also from Northwest Senior and Disability Services. That's Oregon, the Oregon piece of things. Doug Schaefer is here from the Olympic Area Agency on Aging, and we are talking about kind of little-known, very valuable resources and programs available through both of their agencies on both sides of the Columbia for people who are dealing with medical issues, especially related to seniors, but not always. It could be people who are younger who are having difficult illness issues that can also get help through some of these programs. So, Melissa, why don't we go back to you? What are there any other things that you wanted to mention?
I think one of the things is adult protective services that we have. Okay. I know that Doug had mentioned something briefly about that with the gatekeepers. We do have that in our office, too. We have someone that does the investigations. So it could be any physical, mental neglect or financial exploitation. And if people see that, they need to call in and let us know about that. And we'll go ahead and make sure it gets to the right person and go forward with that. But I think that's a real important piece that we probably each have at our offices.
And so is that, Doug, since we're talking to the Oregon side of things, what
and
about
I'm
in Washington?
Is that what you're trying to
Well, we talked about that earlier. Yes, you are outnumbered, but in a good way. So is there that adult protective services piece on the Washington side
yes.
of things as well?
It's not in our agency because of the different type of AAAs between over here and over there. But it is through Home and Community Services, and we work closely with Adult Protective Services to make referrals and to do follow-up and case management and so on. So that's a service that's there also.
And so, you know, I know occasionally we have just referred to this program on other shows, and it's kind of interesting, you know, the other similar sounding thing that people have heard of is Child Protective Services, but this is Adult Protective
yes.
Services,
yes.
and so mm-hmm. there's a very voluntary function in there, isn't that true? I mean,
yes.
people don't have to accept help, do they,
no.
in this program?
No, but I think this is very important that people call in if they even suspect anything, because someone will go out then and talk with them. I mean, they do look at the reports to see what the situation, what's going on. And, you know, everyone has a situation that maybe someone needs just to take another look and eyes in that home. I think it's just very important that we're all out there paying attention to that and seeing those people that could be very vulnerable.
Well, you know, I think one of the great things about this region that I've observed from living here is that there's a big sense of community mm-hmm. here. You know, people really do kind of watch out for each other. I mean, people will call and say, my neighbor's having a problem and I don't know what to do. And that's pretty nice. I mean, that's
a great
backdrop for the services that you offer, because people will do it.
Right.
And that's pretty neat right there.
And I've mentioned before that sometimes, several times, sort of the course that I've seen is when we do someone calls in and says, I'm really concerned about my neighbor, but I don't want you to tell them that I'm calling because I want to, keep a good relationship or whatever. And so we'll follow up and do a cold call to this person and talk to them. And, of course, the first thing out of their mouth, who told you I needed help? I don't, and they'll get a little angry and upset because their privacy has been invaded.
Yeah,
so
of course.
We just talk to them and say, well, if you do need any assistance, here's our information. Blah, blah, blah. And people should mind their own business. Generally, within a month or two, we'll get a call back from that individual
mm-hmm.
and say, I was thinking about,
mm-hmm.
but it has to be on their, and I understand that, it has to be on right. their terms, but I've seen that happen time and time again.
Boy, that's interesting.
Kind of like, stay away from me, and then, mm-hmm. okay, now I'm ready.
Well, it has to be their idea.
Sure.
Yeah, sure. And that's good for people's, I think one of the things that I've been impressed with all the programs that you offer is that there's a great awareness of people needing to keep their dignity in this mm-hmm. as they age.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And that's a very important, and dignity and independence, and that's what a lot of these programs are about. In both of your agencies is giving people the option to remain in their homes
right.
and do things for themselves and get the help they need in a dignified kind
yes.
of way,
right.
So I don't know. Are there other things?
One other place that people may meet me out in the field is doing private admissions assessments. We call them PAWS. And so people who are in a nursing facility for more than 30 days and paying privately, the state mandates that we go and visit them and talk to them about resources again. Same idea as options counseling, only now they're actually having to look at spending a large amount of money for care, for further skilled care options at the nursing home. And then when they go into, if they were to go in from skilled care to what they call ICF or intermediate care, then Medicare wouldn't even be covering that anymore. And so if they have private funds that they're spending on that, then we want them to know all their options and know that we are here as an agency to help them through making those kind of decisions. So I'll visit them at their nursing home or visit their families, if that whoever the appropriate person is in that case to talk with.
Wow, that's pretty great. So, I mean, because they may not be aware mm-hmm. that those things are there. Okay. Well,
that's another thing I think that people need to be aware of. We're always more than willing to come to your meeting, to your team meeting, to your department meeting. I was talking to someone a month or two ago, and they were kind of surprised that, you'll do that? And go, yeah, we want people to know that we're out there. So a lot of those agencies and county health department has done it, different ones, a senior activity center in Ocean Park ask us to come. And so there's different ones that do, and we're delighted to come and just kind of share what we do and who we are. And I think it's important for people to know that it's free. Our services are all free. And they can come in and we can work with them for years in some instances, and it's free. Our services are free. So they don't have to worry about buying into a membership.
Mm-hmm. And many of the services, I mean, some of the services are income dependent, but a lot mm-hmm. of them are not.
Right.
You know, they're just need dependent.
Well, and we can give people resources for, you know, foster homes. We can give people resources for legal assistance, mm-hmm. you know, all of those things that are through the ADRC, the Aging and Disability Resource Connection in Oregon. But there's a wealth of information, and if we don't know it, we can at least help them find it.
And so we've talked a little bit in the past, but not for quite a while, about the whole legal services aspect. So that sounds like hiring a lawyer, but not really. So what is that? Doug, can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, there's different things. I mean, there's Northwest Justice Project. It kind of oversees the legal advocacy stuff for our side. And there's a toll-free number that people can call in, and if they're over 60, there's one number. If they're under, it's another number, and leave their name and what it's about, and then one of the attorneys that specializes in that field will call them back now. Non-criminal cases, civil cases, that kind of thing. But we also have in our offices in both end of the county, in Raymond and Long Beach, we have attorneys that once a month come to our office, and anyone over 60 can have a free half hour sitting down with the attorney and figuring out what they do. Sometimes they have to come back a couple times, but they just call our office. We schedule them, find out what the topic's about so the attorney can come prepared, and then they come in and sit down with them. As you can imagine, those fill up pretty much. I think we're through June or July right now.
Boy, that's really amazing, though.
So it's a really good resource,
wow,
too.
Wow, that's pretty terrific. So let's see, Melissa, is there anything comparable on the
Oregon?
We have
legal aid services through the Hillsborough office, and they're the ones that cover for our county out here. Hmm. And so there's a 1-800 number, and if you can look it up even online, at it's Legal Aid in Hillsborough, Oregon, and they can help assist people.
Hmm. That's amazing. I mean,
they
have
come out, I believe, out in our area before, just not as regular as what Doug was talking about.
Well, that's pretty amazing, because I think most people think of big dollars when they think of even talking mm-hmm. to a lawyer for mm-hmm. 5 minutes, you know, so that's pretty great. Wow. Well, you know, we are actually getting to the point in the show where we could do contact information. The show goes by so fast, sometimes we start talking and then half an hour has gone by. So just to remind people, we are looking at senior and sometimes disabled for people services on both sides of the Columbia River here, Oregon and Washington. And we want to let people know how to get in touch with the folks that you've heard about here on the show. And if you have questions about this or other things related to the whole topic of senior services, these folks are the people to call. Even if it's something that we haven't talked about on today's show, you can get an answer, some kind of a referral or some kind of help from calling these resources. So, Melissa, why don't we start with you?
So at Northwest Senior and Disability Services, our office actually is located in Warrington. We're right behind Costco, and our main number is 503-861-4200. If you want to call the Aging and Disability Resource Connection, which we have information and assistance specialists that can help you, the number to call is 1-866-206-4799, and we'll be able to help you.
Okay. And Michelle, is there any other
contact
info?
Website, I guess.
The website is www.nwsds.org.
Okay, great. And Doug, the Washington piece of things.
Okay, in you. Raymond, our number is 360-942-2177. In Long Beach, it's 360-642-3634. And our website is www.o3a.org.
And that's the Olympic Area Agency on Aging. So thanks for listening today. You've been listening to A Senior Moment, the show for and about seniors. I'm Joanne Rideout. My guests today have been Melissa Johnston. She is a manager with Northwest Senior and Disability Services. And Michelle Lewis, who's with us every month. She's also Community Program Supervisor for Northwest Senior and Disability Services. And Doug Schaefer from Olympic Area Agency on Aging. The three of us, Michelle, Doug, and I, every month we come to you with the show, explain resources in the community in the hopes that that will provide support for our seniors out there. So if you're listening, if you're a family member of a senior, this is the show for you. And thanks for listening to A Senior Moment. We'll see you next time.